Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
America, welcome to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, reporting live from the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C. Welcome to our listeners from coast to coast and those on Progressive Voices as well. What were your thoughts on last night's debate? Give me a call at 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. And furthermore, how do you feel about paying more taxes than Donald Trump? Is that okay with you? Are you agreeing with Donald Trump that basically you're a chump if you pay taxes? You know, I remember years ago when the hotel magnate, Leona Helmsley, do you remember her? She went to jail, I think it was for tax evasion, right? Isn't that what she went to jail for? In any case, she famously said that taxes were only paid for by little people. Only the little people pay taxes. And when you get to the question about why Donald Trump doesn't pay taxes, that seems to be the response of his surrogates. Only the little people pay taxes. Donald Trump is a genius for figuring out how to avoid to pay taxes. To which his accountant, his real estate accountant, actually came back and said, no, excuse me, I'm the genius. I'm the one who figured out how to avoid the taxes. Really, I mean, the accountant may have used the loopholes, but the reason why the loopholes are there is because, guess what? Our tax system is rigged in favor of billionaires. And the question might be, do you support and would you support paying more of your taxes, paying higher taxes, giving more of your income to the federal government so they could distribute it to Donald Trump? We know, for example, that Donald Trump took almost $1 billion from the state of New York in the same year that he lost. Well, maybe it wasn't the same year. He took $1 billion in the state of New York, and maybe in a different year, he lost $1 billion. But sum total, you, the taxpayer, gave Donald Trump $1 billion, and then he lost it. And then because he lost it, he doesn't have to pay taxes. So is that fair? And would you support Donald Trump's plan to make you pay more so that billionaires pay less? It seems like an easy answer. And yet, when you think about the way a Trumpist looks at things, you have to understand the authoritarian sensibility. You got to understand why people support dictatorships. Now, to be fair, often after the dictator is in place for a while, those that supported the dictator do regret their support. But if you look at the rise of any dictatorship in history, any authoritarian movement, you find that a lot of people are uncomfortable with gray, like authoritarians, people who want things to be black and white, people who believe in strict hierarchies. Donald Trump has famously said that some people are better than others. They're smarter than others. They're genetically superior than others. In fact, I'll play a clip for you a little bit later on because some people think that it was only the Nazis that believe such things. But no, Donald Trump is very famous about believing that certain people are better than others. And if you believe in this hierarchy of human beings, if you believe that some people truly deserve more than others, you might think, well, I'm not good enough, but I want to give my money so that someone like Donald Trump, my superior, can do better. And there are people who think that. There are people that consider that their role in life. Now, if you saw the debate last night, you saw vice presidential nominee Tim Kaine, my senator, Senator Tim Kaine in Virginia, and the vice presidential nominee for the Republican Party, Mike Pence, Governor Mike Pence of Indiana. And you see that it was an interesting debate because time and time again, Kaine would say things that Trump said. And Pence's response was either, He didn't say that. I didn't hear him say that. He didn't say that. You're just lying about what Donald Trump said. Or it was one of sort of, well, Hillary Clinton's a bad person. But he never dealt with the issues that Tim Kaine raised. Let me play, for example, well, the very first clip that my producers have pulled up for me. Let's play that clip. I want you to hear how they talk about taxes.
With all due respect, the question was about whether it seems fair to you that Mr. Trump said he brilliantly used the laws to pay as little tax as legally possible.
Well, this is probably the difference between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton and Senator Kaine. I mean, Hillary Clinton and Senator Kaine, and God bless you for it, career public servants, that's great. Donald Trump is a businessman, not a career politician. He actually built a business. Those tax returns that came out publicly this week showed that he faced some pretty tough times 20 years ago. But like virtually every other business, including the New York Times not too long ago, he used what's called net operating loss. We have a tax code, Senator, that actually is designed to encourage entrepreneurship.
But why won't
he
release his tax return?
Well, we're answering the question about the business thing. His tax returns that showed he went through a very difficult time, but he used the tax code just the way it's supposed to be used, and he did it brilliantly.
How do you know that? You haven't seen
his runway
tax return.
Because he's created a business that's worth billions of dollars today.
How do you know that?
And with regard to paying taxes, this whole riff about not paying taxes and people saying he didn't pay taxes for years, Donald Trump has created tens of thousands of jobs, and he's paid payroll taxes, sales taxes,
Senator, I'm going to give you about 30 seconds to respond, and I have a question on Social Security.
Hillary Clinton is going to raise taxes, and Donald Trump and I are going to cut them.
Donald Trump started this campaign in 2014. He said, if I run for president, I will absolutely release my taxes. He's broken his first promise. He's broken his first promise. Second, he stood on the stage last
week.
He stood on the stage last week. And when Hillary said you haven't been paying taxes, he said, that makes me smart. So it's smart not to pay for our military. It's smart not to pay for veterans. It's smart not to pay for teachers. And I guess all of us who do pay for those things, I guess we're stupid. And the last thing I'll say,
Senator,
is this.
Do you take all the deductions that you're entitled to?
The last thing I want to ask Governor Pence is
I do.
Governor Pence had to give Donald Trump his tax returns to show he was qualified to be vice president. Donald Trump must give the American public his tax returns to show that he's qualified to be president, and he's breaking his promise.
Okay, so in this discussion on taxes, what do we find? We all know Donald Trump won't release his taxes. But there are a couple things I found really interesting here, and that is the interplay between career public servant, which is what Mike Pence derogatorily called Hillary Clinton and Tim Kaine, and frankly, he might have referred to himself in that same vein, and Donald Trump, the businessman. And there's this implication, and it's a very conservative policy implication, that if you work for the government, well, I guess you're a chump, because here you are sacrificing, and we are. Those of us who work for the government sacrifice chances to make a ton of money in order to make the relatively low salary of a public official, and do so, and we pay our taxes. Whereas a businessman, well, you know, they can make a ton more money, and they don't have to pay their taxes. And I thought it was interesting when Pence said that Donald Trump had a tough time of it. Here he lost $1 billion. He had a tough time of it. Well, you know, I guess we all should shed a tear for someone who loses $1 billion, maybe. But Donald Trump is running on his skills as a businessman. Supposedly, he's to be praised for this, and yet the guy loses $1 billion, doesn't pay taxes, and we're supposed to feel sorry for him. You know, when I worked in Congress, there was a bill, a bankruptcy bill, and it said that if you go into deep debt for student loans, trying to make a better life for yourself by going to college, you can't get rid of that in bankruptcy. Or if you have massive credit card debt because you spent money trying to save the lives of your parents or children or spouse who are dying of some horrible disease, and we all know how expensive hospital costs are, that bankruptcy bill made it harder for you to get out from underneath those expenses. So trying to save a dying loved one, trying to attend school and make your life better. Those are things that the Republicans really don't want to promote. If you do those things, you spend money on that, pay your debts. But if you lose $1 billion in some transaction with other people's money mostly, and you do it as a tax dodge, they support the exact kinds of tax loopholes that allow you to have that conduct. And indeed, the question that I have for you folks is, how much are you willing to pay to subsidize Donald Trump's golden toilets? Is it that he is a better person than you? Is it that if you're voting for Donald Trump, you think that he is a superior human being, as he says he is, and therefore you need to bow down and serve your master? Because polls have shown that one of the best ways to determine whether or not someone supports Donald Trump or not, obviously the best way is whether you're a Democrat or Republican. Democrats tend to support Hillary Clinton. Republicans tend to support Donald Trump. But then you look at Republicans. And to find out whether Republicans support Donald Trump or not, you look at whether they believe in obeying authority. And if you believe in obeying authority, if you believe in always doing what you're told, interestingly enough, you're much more likely to be a Donald Trump supporter, even though Donald Trump doesn't obey authority, doesn't do what he's told. But this obedience to a fearless leader that we find in other nationalist movements apparently shows a lot of Republican support for Donald Trump. And if you're willing to be independent, if you're willing to stand out from the herd, if you're willing to be creative, if you're willing to say that I can be right even when people tell me I'm wrong, then even if you're a Republican, you're more likely to support Hillary Clinton than Donald Trump. What are your thoughts? 888-48-MARK, 888-48-6275. We'll be playing more debate clips and some other interesting clips when we come right back.
He's a Bible-quoting, Constitution-loving, flag-waving, red-blooded, liberal American. He's Mark Levin. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. Back to the Aggressive Progressive, Mark Levin.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levin. We're talking about the debate that occurred yesterday and also the general idea among Trump supporters that, well, maybe he's just a better person than the rest of us. Maybe the rest of us should pay our taxes and he shouldn't. Maybe we're chumps for doing it, but maybe we should just respect our betters. You know, there is a notion, and it's one put forward by, well, fascist movements or right-wing movements like Le Pen in France, or some would call the eugenics movement in the United States, that say that, hey, you know, some people are just genetically better than others. It's very clear that Donald Trump sees himself in that way. And I want to play a clip. There's a little bit of a voiceover at the beginning, but the rest of it is Donald Trump's words. This is how he views himself and humanity.
All men are created equal.
That's not true.
Because
some are smart, some aren't.
The family subscribes to a racehorse theory of human development.
When you connect two racehorses, you usually end up with a fast horse.
Secretariat doesn't produce slow horses.
They believe that there are superior people, and that if you put together the genes of a superior woman and a superior man, you get a superior offspring.
You have to have the right genes.
I have a certain gene. I'm a gene believer.
Do we believe in the gene thing? I mean, I do.
I have great genes and all that stuff, which I'm a believer in.
Well, I think I was born with a drive for success.
I was born with a certain intellect.
The fact is, you have to be born and blessed with something up here.
God helped me by giving me a certain brain.
It's this. It's not my salesmanship.
It's what?
This. You know what that is? It's the brain power.
I have Ivy League education, smart guy.
I have like a very, very high aptitude.
I'm pretty good at English. I always did very nicely in English.
I mean, like, I'm a smart person.
You're born a fighter, and I've seen a lot of people, they want to fight, but they can't.
Some people cannot genetically handle pressure.
I always said winning is somewhat maybe innate.
Maybe it's just something you have. You know, you have the winning gene.
Frankly, it'd be wonderful if you could develop it, but I'm not so sure you can.
You know, I'm proud to have that German blood. There's no question about it. Great stuff.
So that's Donald Trump, and there's several clips in there. They're all strung together. But clearly he believes he is, superior to the rest of us. And then I think you could understand some of this, his attacks on veterans, for example, right? When he says that a veteran with post-traumatic stress is weak. Now, Donald Trump didn't go into battle. Donald Trump did not risk his life. Donald Trump did not try to save other people's lives. Donald Trump did not see the horrors of death and destruction that have caused people in wartime to get post-traumatic stress for thousands of years. But he thinks he's better than those people. He even said, we can handle things that are normal, but people with post-traumatic stress are too weak to handle. And this quick calling people who are far greater heroes than he is as weak, I think tells us something about Donald Trump. Why was it so important for him to attack John McCain? John McCain, a war hero, shot down not only a prisoner of war, but a particularly brave one, someone who spent years in a North Vietnamese prison camp, didn't take the early ticket home when he could have if he'd simply told on some of his fellow Americans. Really a heroic thing. Why does Donald Trump feel he has to be so much more important than John McCain? And last night, when Mike Pence did a pretty good job, in fact, the good job he did was mostly by hiding and avoiding Donald Trump's statements. We're going to hear in the next half hour how Tim Kaine kept pressing Mike Pence on Trump's statements and Mike Pence running away from them and basically pretending like they didn't happen and sometimes even denying things that are obvious that happened. But nonetheless, Mike Pence had a pretty good debate performance by simply avoiding Donald Trump and spouting his conservative principles. And now it's being reported that Donald Trump is jealous of his own running mate. You ever heard of such a thing? A president jealous of a vice president? Given all the incredible difference in power between the president of the United States and the vice president of the United States, kind of a joke in America because of how little power the vice president has. And yet he's jealous because people are saying that Mike Pence did better in the debate than he did. I think the official diagnosis, and I'm no psychologist, but the official diagnosis for Donald Trump's condition is called chip on your shoulder disease. You all know about that, right? When someone has a chip on their shoulder, desperately anxious to prove that they're good enough, that they're better than everybody else. And I just be curious to know where Donald Trump's insecurity comes from, that he's so determined to prove he's smarter and he's better and he wins more, even as he's losing $1 billion. What could convince Donald Trump as President of the United States that he actually made a mistake? Or would he be so anxious to prove his machoism? I mean, this is a guy who's talking about the size of his hands and the size of other parts of his body. That's how insecure he is. And yet he'd be so anxious to prove his machoism, how would he respond if Iran or Russia or North Korea are real dangers in this world, threaten the United States? I shudder to think. Let me know what you think. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Be right back right after this.
And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. Toll-free number 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. I'll get to your calls in just one second. I want to play clip number 3 from last night's debate.
And I just want to talk about the tone that's set from the top. Donald Trump during this campaign has called Mexicans rapists and criminals. He's called women slobs, pigs, dogs, disgusting. I don't like saying that in front of my wife and my mother. He attacked an Indiana-born federal judge and said he was unqualified to hear a federal lawsuit because his parents were Mexican. He went after John McCain, a POW, and said he wasn't a hero because he'd been captured. He said African Americans are living in hell, and he perpetrated this outrageous and bigoted lie that President Obama is not a U.S. citizen. If you want to have a society where people are respected and respect laws, you can't have somebody at the top who demeans every group that he talks about. And I just, again, I cannot believe that Governor Pence will defend the insult-driven campaign that Donald Trump has run.
That, of course, was Tim Kaine, Hillary Clinton's vice presidential nominee last night in the debate. Did Pence defend those things? No. He either ignored them or denied Donald Trump had actually said any of them, weirdly enough. Let's play clip number four.
When Hillary Clinton became Secretary of State, Governor Pence, do you know that Osama bin Laden was alive?
Yes.
Do you know that we had 175,000 troops deployed in the battlefield in Iraq and Afghanistan? Do you know that Iran was racing toward a nuclear weapon and Russia was expanding its stockpile? Under Secretary Clinton's leadership, she was part of the national team, public safety team, that went after and revived the dormant hunt against bin Laden and wiped him off the face of the earth. She worked a deal with the Russians to reduce their chemical weapons stockpile. She worked a tough negotiation with nations around the world to eliminate the Iranian nuclear weapons program without firing a shot.
Eliminate the Iranian nuclear weapons program.
Absolutely, without firing a shot. And instead of 175,000 American troops deployed overseas, we now have 15,000.
Right.
That actually wasn't the one I was looking for. I wanted to look for the one where he denied it. But I'll play that in a bit. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Rod from New Jersey on line two. Hey, Rod, how are you?
Yes, good afternoon, Mark.
Good afternoon.
I wanted to bring up a couple of things.
Yeah.
Basically, I wanted to talk a little bit about people's short memories. You know, Donald Trump is not the illness. He is a symptom of the illness. And what I mean by that is if you go back, and he's absolutely right. You know, he probably was playing by the laws when he claimed that almost $1 billion tax deduction. The question is, who wrote the laws and who financed him to write the laws? A lot of rich people, they went out and hired tax accountants. They hired lobbyists, politicians, and lawyers to help them rewrite the tax laws in their favor.
But, Rod, that just makes them smart.
Yeah.
They're smart. They know how to manipulate the system. They know how to avoid paying taxes. They know how to do what Leona Helmsley told them to do, make all the little people pay taxes. We're chumps, Rod. We're not smart enough. We're not geniuses. Chris Christie and Rudy Giuliani said he's a genius because he figured out how to make all the rest of us pay for his hotels. That's genius, yeah. Rod. That's what he's saying.
On the plus side... Chris Christie, his little cover-up may be unraveling, and he may be headed for jail himself.
Well, that's true. Yeah, that'll be a nice postscript to this campaign when he's frog marched and they actually lock him up. But let me ask you this, because I find it so fascinating that not only is he not embarrassed that he's not paying taxes when the rest of us are, he's proud of it. He's proud of it. He's waving it in our face. He's saying, you are a chump. He's saying, like Leona Helmsley, only the little people pay taxes. He's saying, vote for me. I beat the system, and I want you to pay for it. It's almost a masochistic thing to vote for Donald Trump.
Yeah. One thing, too, I wanted to mention, you know, look up Roy Cohn. Roy Cohn was a mentor to Donald Trump.
Yeah,
and
Joe McCarthy.
He has some, you know, he was something of a slime ball himself.
Yes,
so
he was.
Whitaker Chambers. So far as I wanted to comment a little bit on progressive talk show hosts.
Okay.
There was, you know, and the man I considered the gold standard for progressive talk show hosts was Fred Anderle back on WSU. AM radio he retired about maybe 10, 15 years ago, but he did not talk over his guests or his callers. He did not bully them or cut them off or anything like that. He let them explain their point. And if some of the tape is still around, I hope they are. You know, I would suggest that people go back and listen to some of his programs. He had some excellent guests and so forth. And I think as progressives, we owe, you know, the talk show host. Now, we know what the people on the other side, Rush Limbaugh and so forth, how they operate. We operate that way. We should discuss things.
Well, we do. One of the things I try to do is, and in fact, I tell people if they call into my show early, like you did, you get lots of time on the air. If you call late, sometimes when you got 5 minutes to go and I got five callers, I try to get them all in at the last minute. But usually if someone calls in early enough. And I'll tell you something, folks, if you disagree with me, and my producer, Mark Grimaldi, will tell you this, I put you at the top of the list. Because I want to hear from people who disagree with me. The people who agree with me, I mean, I appreciate it, Ron. But it's actually more interesting to talk with people who disagree. So if you support Donald Trump and you call in now at 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275, I will put you at the top of the queue. Thank you for your call, Ron. I appreciate it. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll be playing some more clips from the debate.
He's a Harvard economist and a Yale lawyer. He does not keep up with the Kardashians. He's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. Who says nerds can't be fun? It's Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. We got a whole bunch of things going on. We've got clips from last night. We've got other clips from Donald Trump. And we, of course, have you, callers, on the line at 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Let's go quickly to Laura from Seattle on line two. Hey, Laura, how are you?
I'm great, Mark. How are you?
I'm good.
Welcome can you hear me okay?
I hear you fine. Yeah. Welcome to the show. Yes.
Thanks. Hey, you know, you were saying earlier about how did Donald Trump become the kind of man that he is.
Yeah.
And I just watched this morning a Frontline documentary about Hillary and Donald, how they were raised all the way up to right now. And Donald was so fascinating. His father taught them that they were like those racehorses you were talking
about.
Yeah,
that they were genetically superior to the rest of us.
Yes, and he was a troubled child. He was sent to that military school when he was very young. It was just a fascinating look at this man. And then when he became successful in New York and hooked up with that Ray Cohn, he is the one who taught Donald to win, win, win. No matter what happens, you never say you lost anything. You lie, or the hyperbole that he says. I suggest everybody watch this because it's fascinating about Hillary, too.
Yeah, I did see something like that. I don't know if it's the same one. I saw there was a two-hour clip on CNN for Hillary and a two-hour one for Donald Trump. I think you're talking about a different one. But you're absolutely right. It's this authoritarian sensibility. And, it reminds me a lot of Kim Jong-un. There's a reason why Donald Trump praises people like Kim Jong-un and Vladimir Putin and Saddam Hussein. He has this authoritarian sensibility, this sensibility that you know, he's better than everybody else. And it's kind of scary.
Yes.
Thanks for your
call. Well, and if you watch...
Yeah, real
quick.
No, go ahead. You got one more thing to say? Go ahead.
About Hillary, it is fascinating, the parallel story, because she, ever since she was a young girl, was all about public service and learning and helping people compared to this greedy, you know, whatever you want to call him, person.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's a really great, great documentary.
Thanks, Laura, and thanks for telling us about it. I appreciate it. I want to play a clip from last night from the debate from Tim Kaine, because I want you to hear how Tim Kaine hits hard on Donald Trump's love of dictators and the way Mike Pence just kind of, denies that it happened. It's clip number two from the ones you gave me, Mark. Let's play that first.
You got to be tough on Russia. So let's start with not praising Vladimir Putin as a great leader. Donald Trump and Mike Pence have said he's a great leader. And Donald Trump has business dealings with Russia that he refuses to disclose. Hillary Clinton has gone toe-to-toe with Russia. She went toe-to-toe with Russia as Secretary of State to do the New START agreement to reduce Russia's nuclear stockpile. She's had the experience doing it. She went toe-to-toe with Russia and lodged protests when they went into Georgia. And we've done the same thing about Ukraine, but more than lodging protests, we've put punishing economic sanctions on Russia that we need to continue. Donald Trump, on the other hand, didn't know that Russia had invaded the Crimea.
Oh, that's nonsense.
He was on a TV show a couple months back, and he said, I'll guarantee you this, Russia's not going into the Ukraine. And he had to be reminded that they had gone into the Crimea 2 years before. Hillary Clinton has gone toe-to-toe with Russia to work out a deal on New START. She got them engaged in a meaningful way to cap Iran's nuclear weapons program, and yet she stood up to them on issues such as Syria and their invasion of Georgia. You've got to have the ability to do that, and Hillary does. On the other hand, in Donald Trump, you have somebody who praises Vladimir Putin all the time. America should really wonder about a President Trump who had a campaign manager with ties to Putin, pro-Putin elements in the Ukraine, who had to be fired for that reason. They should wonder, when Donald Trump is sitting down with Vladimir Putin, is it going to be America's bottom line, or is it going to be Donald Trump's bottom line that he's going to be worried about with all of his business dealings? Now, this could be solved if Donald Trump would be willing to release his tax returns, as he told the American public that he would do. And I know he's laughing at this, but every president
What's it got to do with Russia?
Every president since Richard Nixon has done it, and Donald Trump has said, I'm doing business with Russia, the only way the American public will see whether he has a conflict of interest.
No, he hasn't said that.
Senator, your time is up.
Okay, so Tim Kaine laid forth a number of things, and you heard Mike Pence deny them all. And I want to provide, as a service to you, a little bit of fact-checking here. So first you heard Mike Pence talk about himself. You heard Kaine say that Pence said that Putin was a great leader, and you heard Pence say, I never said that. Mark Romaldi, let's play the great leader clip.
Donald Trump said that Vladimir Putin has been a leader far more than the President of the United States. Do you share that view?
I think it's inarguable that Vladimir Putin has been a stronger leader in his country than Barack Obama has been in this country. And that's going to change the day that Donald Trump becomes president of the United States of America.
A stronger leader in his country than Obama's been in his. And as Tim Kaine points out, you know, when you are dictator, when you are an authoritarian, when you're Führer or king or supreme leader, and there are no checks and balances like Congress and courts and free speech, you can be a very strong dictator, but is that a leader? Or is that a dictator? And Kaine pointed out another point in the debate. There's a big difference. If you believe that this is a good thing, if you believe that strength is correct through ending the United States Constitution, ending Congress, ending Supreme Court, ending free speech, throwing journalists in jail the way, you know, Donald Trump says that he's going to punish journalists that do the wrong thing. Well, you know, I guess there's a way to think that that's strong. It's certainly powerful when you're a dictator. But is that anything that America should strive toward? Now, the second thing you heard was you heard Mike Pence deny that Donald Trump didn't know that Russia had gone into Ukraine. He said Donald Trump knew that. He knew that. Let's play the clip with George Stephanopoulos.
Why did you soften the GOP platform on Ukraine?
I wasn't involved in that. Honestly, I was not involved. Yeah, I was not involved in that. I'd like to, I'd have to take a look at it, but I was not involved.
Do you know what they did?
They softened it, I heard, but I was not involved.
They took away the part of the platform calling for provision of lethal weapons to Ukraine to defend themselves. Why is that a good idea?
I have my own ideas. He's not going into Ukraine, okay? Just so you understand. He's not going to go into Ukraine. All right, you can mark it down, you can put it down, you can take it anywhere
you want.
Well,
he's already there, isn't he?
Okay. Well, he's there in a certain way, but I'm not there. You have Obama there.
Did you catch that? Oh, he's not going into Ukraine. You can take it to the bank. He's never going into Ukraine. He's not gonna... Donald, he's already there. Well, in a certain sense, in the sense that his troops occupy it and have annexed the Crimean portion of it, and they're actually in another part of Ukraine as well. I think it's pretty obvious what the truth is there. One last thing. When Tim Kaine said that Donald Trump promised if he ran for president, he would release his taxes, and you heard Mike Pence laugh at that. A lot of people aren't aware of this clip, this next clip I'm going to play for you. It's actually from Irish TV, taken in 2014 before Donald Trump announced his run for president. I want to play a short clip of that, please.
You questioned his citizenship during his campaign, and you said afterwards, if you produce that long form birth cert, you produce your tax returns, but you didn't do it, did you?
Well, I don't know, did he do it? And I will be, if I decide to run for office, I'll produce my tax returns, absolutely. And I would love to do that. I did produce actually a financial statement, even though I wasn't even running, I did produce a financial statement. And
so absolutely, he would love to do it. He'd love to send over his tax returns. By the way, when he says he's under audit, don't believe that either. When you're under audit, the tax authority sends you a little letter that says, "Dear sir, you're under audit." Donald Trump won't disclose that letter. So is there a reason we should believe anything he has to say? All right, let's get some calls. We've got Joe in Albuquerque on line two. Hey, Joe, how are you?
Hey, good afternoon. How's it going?
I'm doing good.
I watched the debate last night, and I'm, you know, right now I'm listening to your program, obviously. I have to say, though, Tim Kaine comes across exceptionally well just listening to his voice. And last night, for some reason, watching the debate, I just seemed to be distracted.
You know what I think it was? I think he's a little fidgety on the air. One of the things that I think Hillary Clinton did well and Donald Trump did not do well in the first debate is you notice that when Donald Trump is talking, Hillary Clinton is pretty stoic. She's sitting there. She's listening to him. She might write something. She might have an expression on her face. But that's pretty much it. Whereas Donald Trump, when she was talking, was all over the map and was fidgety. To some extent, that was the reverse last night. I think Pence had a better, and obviously I don't agree with Pence, but had a better presence. You got to remember when you're not talking that the camera's always on you. It's something that I've tried to learn because I do a lot of TV myself. And sometimes if I can't even get a word in edgewise because Bill O'Reilly's talking or something, I can make a comment with my face even when I can't do it with my mouth. So it's a good lesson for anyone in a debate. Make sure you recognize that people are watching you even when the cameras aren't on you.
One more thing I'd like to say is at the beginning of the debate, it was obvious to me the first question that went to Pence, it seemed like his response was so prolonged that was probably why the reason Tim Kaine had to kind of interject himself.
It's a tough thing.
I'm thinking his answer seemed so...
It was very pat. Yeah. I have that trouble, too, when I'm on TV and someone's talking on and on. And on TV, you have a very limited time and you feel like you have to interrupt to get a word edgewise. And it's a tricky thing. So it's not an easy thing to do. Thanks for your call, Joe.
Okay,
I want to get a couple others real quick if we have time. Let's go to Dylan in Phoenix on line one real quick.
Hey, Mark, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I got to say, I do find you pleasurable to listen to, although I disagree with most of what you say, I got to be honest. I want to know, how is it that you think Donald Trump's tax returns are more of an important issue to share with the public than Hillary's 33,000 deleted emails?
Dylan, I'll tell you why. You pay more taxes than Donald Trump, don't you? You pay some taxes, don't you? Right?
Of course.
So the fact that you pay more taxes than a billionaire, I would think that might bother you. In terms of emails, I've deleted lots of emails. You probably have, too. These are her private emails. To me, the fact that someone's cheating the government, that they're purposely not only not paying taxes, but support a system whereby you, Dylan, pay more taxes than a billionaire, that troubles a lot of people. Doesn't trouble you?
Well, the fact of the matter is the tax system that we have set up right now is so ridiculous. I mean,
and Donald Trump wants to make it worse.
Well, I'm not.
That's the problem.
That's not true. That's not at all true.
I tell you, we're out of time, Dylan, but look up his plan, and you'll see that his plan raises taxes on middle-class people, particularly on single people, and gives it to billionaires like himself. If you support Donald Trump, you're supporting giving your tax money to him, and if you support that, vote for him. This is Mark Levine signing off.